The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Jose, and welcome back to another episode of the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Podcast. Today we have a co-host with us, Kim Colleen.
Hi everybody, I'm Kim Colleen of the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, and I'd like to welcome you to our show.
Now, you can find our show on either on the Whole Picture Podcast on Facebook or the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Podcast. We have our own Facebook page. Or you can find it on my YouTube channel, which will have all the archive of all our old episodes, which is Jose Paranormal History Productions. And today's guest is Drew Ellsworth McRae of the YouTube channel Living Histories Mysteries and the Paranormal Team Midwest Parahistoric Society. So Drew, if you want to take a minute and kind of describe what your channel's about and then take a little time to describe your team.
Thank you, Brandon. My channel is, it's actually more of a history-based than a paranormal channel. I actually registered the name Parahistoric Investigators. We don't just go out and investigate hauntings, paranormal activity. We go out to historic locations and do our investigations there. I still do my fair share of just history and the mysteries that history left behind. I try to make it comfortable for everyone, not just the spooky, scary, but also just those urban legends and myths and mysteries that history's left for us to try to figure out. My team... right now, the Midwest Parahistoric Society is comprised of four different teams from the Michigan area. We have got the Southern Michigan Paranormals. We have got Living Histories Mysteries. We have got Randy's Real Paranormal. We've got Tommy Amongst the Tombstones. That are all part of our group right now, and we're constantly growing. We have folks both inside and outside of the Midwest that have contacted me asking about becoming part of the group, and we've had folks travel from the western side of Illinois and Maryland to come and do investigations with us. This year, we have got folks coming from New Jersey and New York to join us in investigations, one of which I'm going to have as guests on my live stream on the 21st of this month. One of them is a demonologist, and the other is a theologian that work as a team out in New York. So it's going to be pretty interesting this year. We're off to a good start. We have investigations the next three weekends in three different historic locations in Michigan. So... Yep.
Would you mind sharing where you're going to be investigating, or are you going to leave that to be a surprise?
I want to leave that to be a surprise. One of them, the one next week is a hotel.
Okay.
They actually close down the end of December, and then they do all their remodeling and stuff starting usually the end of January. Got like a 2-week span in there when the hotel's pretty much empty. So we're going to have, I think we'll have one of the managers there. We'll have one of the housekeepers and of course the owner they're all going to be interviewed. Another location is an 1834 Masonic temple.
Mm.
Still in the original building, still with a lot of the original antiques. And the other one, I wish I could remember what that is. That's the end of the month. And I don't remember exactly where it's going to be.
No, that's okay. No, you said Southern Michigan Paranormal. Is that the old, that's been around for years and years, the old SMP?
The old group. Okay. Danny.
Holroyd. Yep. I used to be a part of that team many years ago.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know how, oh gosh, at least 5 years ago or more. So I used to be a part of that team. That's where I kind of got my paranormal investigation legs going. He did some training with me and so forth. So we go way back.
Yeah, we just done Henderson Castle for a few weeks ago.
Yep, I've never personally been there, but you know, I've heard some really good ghost stories coming out of the castle.
Yeah, we've got that video on Living History's Mysteries, at least my portion of it. Like I said, we had multiple teams working in the castle, all running their own channels and doing their own videos, and it's an active place. I mean,
okay, I've heard
it's active. Some places we've been, there was no. Oh yeah, it's a wonderful place. I mean, even if just a visit to check out the architecture and the design of the place, it's just it's an amazing place.
So, do you have a good story for us to share of Henderson Castle that you can share with our viewers of your favorite time that you were there?
Well, I went into one of the rooms by myself and upstairs and isolated myself. And at one point in time, this place was, this room was a storage room. I had a staircase going up to an observation deck, and it's right off the dance hall upstairs on the third floor. And I laid back on the bed. I had my REM pod going. I had my voice recorder going, and picked up just all kinds of noises up the staircase, because it's one of the iron wraparound staircases right at the foot of the bed and goes right, disappears up into the ceiling. And I'm all the time, and you can actually hear it on the video, a lot of pops and like the stairs squeaking.
Going up the staircase?
Going up or down. Mm-hmm. The REM pod is constantly flashing beside the bed on the table the whole time I'm laying there on the bed. It's very, very interesting. And I mean, I had all the power shut off except for my camera. And it was fascinating just laying there and listening to everything going on around me.
That freaky, did you freak you out a little bit or not really?
No. So far in 2021, I've been physically attacked 3 times, all resulting in scratches and things like that at 3 different locations. My friend Mark, who is my head researcher. He's the best researcher I've ever found when it comes to studying the history of these locations. We were out at one place. As a matter of fact, the first place I got physically attacked this last year.
That one cemetery where you had the pain in your side?
That was the one where I had the pain going down my back, and I took my shirt off right on camera, and Mark's like, red mark. And then he took a picture of it and gave it to me, and I went on and edited the.
I think we lost him for a second there. We'll see if he comes back.
You can't hear me?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. You're back. I'm back. You're back.
Nothing changed on my end.
I know. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
So you were saying, but you got touched.
We actually we heard something. And I wish the camera would have been rolling when we heard it, because what all of us have always heard about a banshee scream, and it was out in the cornfield behind the church, and it was just the loudest, like a half between a growl and a scream. And we went and talked to a Vietnam veteran, and he mentioned demon and Devil. And we said, okay, well, you know, it's time for us to start moving back towards the car and hitting some of the outer graves. And it wasn't 10 minutes later, Mark went walking down the road while I was packing up the gear. And just all of a sudden, I felt this sharp pain on my back, like a rash. And he came back, and I'm like, man, I hate doing this because I'm going to get chewed up by a skeeter or something. But I'm going to take my shirt off and let you look at my back. And sure enough, there was three marks going right down my spine.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I watched your one episode on YouTube where you and your buddy were at a cemetery, and you had posted pictures of you had said you had a pain in your side area. And I think you had posted some pictures of some scratches or marks.
Yeah.
So you right actually had that.
Right on the bottom of my left rib cage. And it was real good because I was feeling the pain, but it was like, it was inside.
Yeah.
Like I was having stomach cramps or something. And it's like, man, something just don't feel right. And by the time we got back to the car.
Yeah. Now you didn't, did you, you went to bed and then you got up the next day and you're like, did you actually discover it then? Right.
That's when they were really prominent was the next day, but you could almost see like where I had grazed something or something had grazed me. But yeah, it was the next day that it was really prominent. You know, I'm married. My wife don't even ask me anymore. Where do scratches on your back come from?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
She knows. There's only three of them, you Zach Baggins fan. You know, all the nasty stuff comes in threes.
Right. Right. I was on an investigation with Danny one time when we were in an old church in the basement and a young man had gotten scratched next to me too. And the skin was actually raised, not bloody, but you could tell there was actual marks that, I mean, it was fresh. So I have witnessed that myself. Brandon, have you ever gotten scratched before like that or been with somebody who's gotten scratched like that?
I've never actually been scratched. I've been with somebody that has been, well, I had like a small scratch, but I've never had like the three, you know, scratch marks down. I just had like a small scratch once, but that was pretty much it. But that could have been something else too. Maybe I got caught on something. It wasn't like a really, not like a lot of the stuff that you see. So I wasn't one where I could go, okay, this is paranormal. I didn't feel comfortable putting in that category. I did have one team member that got scratched on her back. She had said something like jokingly, and I think that's kind of what had gotten her scratched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. And it's real funny, Kim mentioned church. That's something we have coming up later this year, but I haven't really told many people, but I'll tell your listeners because it's really interesting. I know with you guys being located in Michigan, you've heard of Hobbitland.
Have you, Brandon?
Munchkin Land.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Munchkin Land, Hobbit Land. We've been watching Lord of the Rings.
I get it.
Munchkin Land. If you've not been out there in recent years, they don't like anybody there after dark because there's been a lot of bad things go on out there with people going out in the cemetery. But there's cameras set up all around the church there. And of course, you know, anybody that knows the story of Munchkin Land, supposedly back late 19th, early 20th century, the minister there supposedly murdered multiple children and buried them somewhere on the tree line of the woods around the cemetery in unmarked graves. And after he murdered two little girls, he hung himself from the rope in the bell tower. I recently found out that my wife's cousin is best friends with the girl whose parents own the church. Mm. So we're working on actually getting into the church this year to do a full investigation of the basement where he supposedly killed the girls and everything else. So that's going to be very interesting if we can actually get that worked out with her family to get in there to do either a late night or an overnight lock-in.
Sure. Yeah, that's going to be freaky. Wow. I watched one of your podcasts where there was a orb, there are quite a few orbs. One in particular, there was purple orbs.
Yep.
You remember that one? That was not very long ago. A haunted road back down in Indiana, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So what did you guys ever come up with an explanation for those purple orbs? I mean, you tried to debunk it and you just couldn't move this light. Nothing was kind of making it go away. And it was dancing all over the screen. What did you guys ever come up with?
We didn't.
Okay.
We didn't. I have done a lot of looking into the different colors of orbs and what they meant. And a lot of people believe that a purple orb is angelic,
like an angel, a guardian, like protection color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was very interesting because we definitely tried to debunk it because we had multiple lights.
Yeah,
I've got one of them on right here coming at me, and it gets very, very bright. And we had two of them out there running that night, and we were telling one of them was back behind me, and Tommy Tombstone's cameraman or camerawoman at the time was running the other light on her handheld rig. And he kept telling her, move, turn. And
to kind of make it go away. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one there really, really got us on that.
Yeah.
One.
And especially the purple.
Yeah.
And it didn't change color either. It was kind of like that same purple the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, I don't know if you know, but I'm sure Brandon's figured it out. The channel that I have now is not the original Living Histories Mysteries. When I switched over to doing more paranormal stuff, I guess somebody out there in YouTube land got very, very jealous of how fast we start growing. I mean, we went from, 2,000 subscribers to 4,000 plus in a matter of just a couple months.
Sure.
And if you know anything about YouTube, you turn in copyright strikes against somebody with a computer running YouTube now. There's no way to appeal them. So you get three, they kill your channel. So I was able to save all my investigation videos. I had 970 some odd videos on there. And I was able to save like 60 videos out of it and start a brand new channel.
Okay.
So we are rebuilding our history section though. So for people who maybe are more into just the mysteries of the history left behind and not the paranormal mysteries, there's always that side of the channel too for folks.
Yeah, I know Brandon and I we're more into the paranormal aspect of it, with what we do with our podcast and more of a personal nature, we're more of a paranormal. So Brandon, have you experienced orbs?
Yeah, I've seen ones like where they've been visible. Like I personally seen it, but I've seen like other people. So then I tend to put more stock into those. There are some that you can capture, which you can tell are different than they'd be more legit paranormal. Though 99% of them are just dust or bugs in front of the camera that people are mislabeling, unfortunately, because like a lot of the reality, like my ghost story kind of stuff, they kind of present that as evidence people take. And I've gotten into some really big arguments with people with going, this is a ghost. And I'm like, I know that's not a ghost because I can tell you it's this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and you'll notice in my videos a lot of times when I get a very prominent orb, I'll slow it down or I'll zoom in so people can either see the wings on it or something. Say, no, that's just a brightly lit moth or a bug of some kind, and with dust. I mean, anybody who has grown up in any environment, anywhere in the world, they know what a dust particle looks like and how it flutters around. An orb, I mean, constant 90 degree channel or directional changes and things like that would not be a dust particle. Okay, it's a free flying something. So I even try to, and I hate saying it because I'm not a debunker, I'm not a skeptic at all. I grew up in a house where three people had died in a 85-year span. Two little girls had killed themselves, and an old man died before 1900. So, I mean, I grew up around the paranormal. And my house had originally started off as a one-room cabin. And an old man stood to death one winter there. And then during the 1930s, a little girl hung herself out in the barn. In the 1950s, a little girl hung herself from the staircase banister, divided me and my sister's bedrooms. So we had a lot of activity on the staircase and the spare bedroom upstairs. My sister woke up and seen somebody standing in her corner right by the staircase and screamed. And I guess I ran right through it. She could still see it. I didn't see it, but I ran right through it to go into her room to find out she was okay.
Wow.
So yeah, that's where I grew up in a quote unquote
haunted house per se.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a long history of the paranormal in your life because you grew up with
over 41 years.
Yeah, totally. Well, we'd like to kind of know your opinion on Gettysburg too. Have you been to Gettysburg?
Yes, we were at Gettysburg last week of October in 2020.
Okay, so not too long ago.
No. Gettysburg is an experience. Mm-hmm. I am definitely here to say that anybody who is into history or the paranormal, if you can get to Gettysburg, even if it's just for a couple of days, because we only had a couple of days ago. We actually showed up at like noon on Monday and left at 6 a.m. on Wednesday. But managed to get investigations in both nights we were there. And it is an experience.
You figure
in a matter of July 1st through July 3rd, 1863, 55,000 people lost their lives, a 17 square mile area. People hear drums out on the field. On a hazy day up around Little Round Top, they have seen people marching across the fields in a fog. When we were out there, we were at the Sniper's Nest. And it just, I mean, we had such great oral communication with the spirits there. I mean, we were hearing things around us the whole time that we were there. And we asked, you know, are we surrounded? And right over the voice box, can you see them? I mean, just as plain as day.
Right.
We had all went to a Cemetery Hill and we were getting amazing communication. That's right on the town's edge. I mean, we're parked in a parking lot of a business because you're not allowed on the fields after 10 o'clock at night. From 10 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning, being a federal site, you're not allowed on them. So we're actually on the parking lot, standing on the grass's edge, filming during a storm and still picking up amazing noises. And a couple times we thought we heard gunshots. Like I said, it's an experience for anybody who is into the paranormal. You absolutely have to go to Gettysburg. Andersonville is another place that's on my to-do list.
Okay.
Antietam. I would love to do a lot of the major battlefields and the prison locations, just to see, I mean, just to get that glimpse that something is still there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
that's for me too. Like, that's something I want to do sometime too, is go to like Andersonville and Gettysburg. And I've never really gotten a chance to really go to any really of the Civil War battlefields or the Revolutionary War. battlefields. That's what I really want to go and do, because even my channel, like you were talking about just the paranormal, like my channel too, like I love history. Like that was always my favorite subject in school. So that's why on my channel, I started just for the podcast originally, but like, that's what I want to do is start making history, visit different museums and historical mm-hmm. sites too, and make videos there as well.
Yep. That's
well, if it wouldn't have been for Mark and his wife, I would have never made it out. They go out every year. They've got their Gettysburg family that's out there. And of course, you know, we went to a little diner uptown called Hunt's, which my wife's maiden name. So I thought that was kind of ironic. And, you know, totally. We met with them. You love good food. You want to go to Hunt's. I mean, you order fries. It's fries for five people. I mean, it is a bucket of fries. Yeah, we sat there and discussed their history, the occurrences that they had all had. Yeah, we'd done a paranormal investigation both nights we were there. We'd done the history of Gettysburg during the daytime we were there. I mean, I was filming the whole time I was there. Everybody that's hooked up with my group knows my dream is to be the next Ghost Adventures team. You know, I would love to hook up with the guys from up north that had had the TV show for a while, and see what I can do about getting our team on television to just travel the country and do different investigations and stuff. I mean, there's places all over the West.
Oh, yeah.
You got the Vasilla Axe Murder House in Iowa. You have got penitentiaries and mental hospitals mm-hmm. and things all over the Midwest. And not to mention the battlefields. We have an 1812 battlefield right here in Michigan, right over on the east side of the state in Monroe, where you also have General Custer's house that he and Elizabeth lived in when he went to Little Bighorn and never came home. You know, she lived there till the day she died. So, I mean, there's so much stuff, but I don't have the finances to travel like that.
Yeah, no. Where are you located? Where are you right now?
About 2 hours south of you.
Okay.
I'm right down between Niles and Three Rivers.
Okay. I gotcha. That's your connection with SMP then, because they're pretty much out of the Kalamazoo area.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, totally.
Well, we done a jailhouse in Galeen, Michigan.
Okay.
A couple months ago, and Danny came out and joined us for that one.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
That was the first time we had ever met. And I was very impressed with the way he handled himself. He stayed out of our way, just filmed and done a lot of the talking. We had, of course, people in the museum there in Galeen, where the jailhouse is located. They actually sat in on our investigation and participated in our investigation. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing thing. And I was really glad that we met up with Dana. He has proven to be a huge asset to the group, his knowledge and experience. His connections. I'm not gonna lie, his connections.
Yeah, you know, well, he's been in this a long time, right?
Yeah,
long time. So now, do you dabble in cryptids at all? Now do you, you know,
I want to. I want to, but everybody's too weenie to go out and do a camping trip with me at Manistee State Park in October. And I wanted to go out this past October and try to find the Dogman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's seen a lot in the latter part of October every year. That's when a lot of the reports and stuff come in. And I planned on a weekend camping trip to Manistee and nobody wanted to go with me.
Oh, now Brandon has dabbled with a lot.
Brandon has done some UP the last couple of years on Bigfoot expeditions.
I flat out told him, I said, you guys are big weenies. I would strip down my boxer shorts and cover Rice and meat tenderizer and running around out in the woods with a toothbrush and getting photos of him.
Yeah, so you should tell them about some of your Bigfoot adventures.
Yeah, so those are kind of some very interesting ones. I did get like a lot of tree knocks and stuff like that. But the weirdest one was, wasn't even Bigfoot, but like when we were coming up, we're going down this trail and the team we were with, because I was investigating with Grass, who's another like a, you know, paranormal team that's just kind of getting into the Bigfoot and UFO, trying to do more research into that now. But like one of their team members like, oh, I don't believe Bigfoot. Bigfoot's not real. So we're walking down the trail. You could tell something's like walking alongside of us and just off into the woods, you know, it's keeping pace with us. And all of a sudden I hear him racking his gun, the one that's like, oh, Bigfoot's not real. I'm like, oh, you don't believe it. It's like, I'm like, I can hear your gun there. But that was kind of interesting. But then we got up there, we got to the hill, and there wasn't much Bigfoot. It was like, because normally they look, this goes up on this big hill and you have this big valley underneath, and that's where they like to look into the woods, because you have like a great view line. But this one, we started seeing blue lights, like bluish white lights, off into the woods on the opposite side. So we're looking back down the trail side. Like they started up in the trees and then kind of like worked their way down and would work their way towards us. Like two of them, it's like they almost had like a group, and they had like two that would walk up to the tree line, probably, I don't know, maybe like 10 yards in front of us. And they would like light up behind the tree, like they would blink on and off. Like another one would follow the trail, kind of winds, and it would follow the trail up, come up to the head of the trail and stop. And then they kind of went back. So it was just, it was very, very interesting as to
remember there was a name for those things? They're kind of like fairies?
More like kind of like fairy lights. Yeah. Because that's kind of like what's reported. There's a lot of reports like that on Mackinac Island of people seeing something like that. It could possibly be a spirit. They definitely had an intelligence to them, because the two of them seemed like they were scouts. Like they sent two scouts up to check us out, what we were doing, because that's the way they were behaving. Because they'd come up right to the line and stop. So you could tell they had an intelligence to them. So then they would, you know, kind of fall back with the rest of the group. But like, so that's kind of what I thought. We talked with Chetan Noir, who thought maybe they were Pukwudgies is what we were seeing, but.
Pukwudgie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you familiar with that term?
I'm very familiar with Pukwudgies. On my old channel, I actually done a video on Pukwudgies. And they're very, either Pukwudgies, or I'll tell you another one. A lot of your Native American groups have legends of wee folk, little people. Mm-hmm. Clear down to like Marion, Indiana, around the Missinawa River, there's a story of an old natural well. Very clean water bubbles up out of the ground. And the natives in that area used to go out there and get their fresh water. That way they didn't have to go through all the precautions of boiling water and stuff like that. Well, supposedly this well is guarded by little people. For decades, there have been stories coming out of the area of kids going out there to park along the river and, you know, do what kids do, and having little handprints on the hood of their cars, on the doors, hearing knocking on their cars when they were in them. Not very far from there towards upland Indiana, there's also stories of little people that will push cars if you park on a bridge and put the car in neutral, they'll push the car forward, and there's been handprints on bumpers, but they've been little teeny tiny, even smaller than small kid handprints. So, and I mean, these legends go all the way up into Canada. They go all the way down into the Carolinas. So a lot of your tribes, whether it be an Iroquoian or Algonquin or Great Lakes or whatever, all had the stories of these little people.
Do you kind of feel like it's people, Brandon, or do you feel like these were more like fairy-like, but they flew, right?
And they seemed like they were higher up in the trees to begin with, and then they were kind of going, they kind of came down, like they were up in the trees originally, kind of came down, and they were just kind of going back and forth. There was like a bunch of them going back and forth through the woods, but they weren't like, they would like light up, and then like the light would go out, light up, but you'd see them kind of going around as they lit up. You could follow different individual ones. And that's kind of like how really cool. You can see as they move, they would leave like a light of, you know, like if they moved really fast, you could see like the tail of the light kind of a thing as mm-hmm. it moved. And that's cool. What, that's kind of what it was like.
Well,
we're in the middle of we're 5 miles from like the nearest house. We're in the spot where we're at. We're in the middle of nowhere. So there's no
light,
man-made sword. Light out there at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a huge fan of what's the word I want to use? The fantasy realm, I guess. I have been since I was a kid. I grew up in the 80s, so I mean, you know, D&D. And but even before that, I was a huge fan of the fantasy, the fantasy reality thing. And I was actually just joking with the wife the other night when we were watching The Hobbit. And she was asking, you know, well, what happens to them at the end of Return of the King? I said, well, they travel to the West, to the non-dying lands, to the silver sands. And I said, but the funny thing is, if you look at a map, if you overlay a map of Middle Earth onto Earth as it is, the undying land is Canada, the Eastern US, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people from Ireland to Scotland and Germany and England that came over here and settled believed that not only did their stories follow them here, but the beings themselves did as well. So where Ireland or England had the fae folk, the fairy folk, you know, they would have stored on board ships and followed the people here to keep their stories alive.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows what Brandon's seen out there? It could have been, I mean, we have fairy rings here the same as they do in Europe. I mean, I know you guys have been out in the woods and stuff enough. You have seen fairy rings on the ground before, a ring of clover or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a fond believer that, you know, the fae folk and the things that not even the Native Americans told stories about before Europeans came to the eastern side of Canada and the U.S. and stuff, that people have reported seeing or hearing in the last 300 years. You know, I'm a fond believer that it migrated the same as the people did.
Right. That kind of brings up another question. Well, urban legends. What are your thoughts on urban legends? Do you have a favorite or one that sticks out in your mind?
Not really a favorite, but being a historian, I believe that every legend, every myth is steeped in truth. Even if it's just the teeny tiniest corner of the page, there is some truth to all of these. Something honestly happened to somebody to make them start telling this story.
Sure.
Now, whether or not, you know, you go through 10 generations and the story never changes, or you go 10 generations and the fish goes from this size to that size,
yeah.
You know, I believe that urban legends, myths, and legends are all steeped somewhere, in fact.
Mm-hmm. So which one are you thinking about? What's going in your brain? I know you've got something, you're thinking about one. What do you think?
One of them that sticks out in my mind, I think, would be, Let's go with the dogman thing.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's Michigan. We're in Michigan. Let's stick local. The dogman. Been around since before whites ever came to the continent. There have been stories of him. A lot of people believe him to be a shapeshifter. Some believe he's a skinwalker. Whatever the case may be, we're actually looking, another big investigation we're looking at this year is a place up near Muskegon And the cemetery was built on the edge of an old Indian burial ground. So two steps, you've gone from white land to native land where burial mounds are at. And these burial mounds are supposedly guarded by a skinwalker.
Okay.
So we're real looking forward to getting up there. I might even splurge and buy a steak or something on the way up yeah. just to have something to bait with.
Right.
You know, that one there really sticks out the most because, you know, skinwalkers, shapeshifters, whatever you want to call them, they're all over the United States and Canada, clear down into Central America, you know, and I believe that once again, there's something steeped in fact in the story, whether it's the fact they're a spirit, whether it's the fact they're an actual medicine person or a shaman or whatever who has reached that level of power that they can shapeshift. The same with the Wendigo. You know, I don't, the story goes the Wendigo is a spirit that turned to eating human flesh and became this thing. And now if you run into a Wendigo, they will transform you into a Wendigo or they will eat you. You know, it's a flip of the coin with a Wendigo. You don't know. You can't trust them. The skinwalker, I mean, they've been around for so long. The legends have been around for so long that there has to be something there, something we just haven't found yet.
Right, right.
And
I think you'll find a lot of the Bigfoot people will say that too. You know, it's like, well, if they're there, why haven't we seen them, right? Why aren't more people seeing them? You know, if the Bigfoot are out there, I think that's what a lot of people say. No, go ahead.
I was watching a story and I can't remember the name of the movie, but I remember what it was. Damn it. It was the Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
With Tim Allen.
That's been on like a lot.
The first one.
Yep.
And if you'll remember right, Judge Reinhold's role in that, he plays a psychologist, he's a non-believer.
Yep.
And you know, he's got Tim Allen's son as his stepson.
Yep.
And he says, well, what about reindeer? Do reindeer fly? Or how do reindeer fly? Or how do you know a reindeer flies? He says, you just got to believe, because have you ever seen one? He says, no. And Judge says, well, there you go. And then the kid looks at him and says, you ever seen $1 million? He says, no. He goes, how do you know it exists?
Yep. I remember that part
just
of the movie.
Just because you don't see something.
It doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Because you don't physically see it doesn't mean it. Exactly.
That's true.
You know,
I
want one of those t-shirts that shows Bigfoot on it that says, you know, national hide and seek champion.
We've had a lot of guests on our podcast, haven't we, Brandon, talk about the ways that Bigfoot can hide and not be seen by humans and stuff. And so, that's
well, let's even talk about Bigfoot. Let's talk about a deer.
Yeah.
People go out deer hunting all the time. People go out deer hunting. All the time. You don't see that deer when he's hunkered down in the high brush watching you.
No.
You see that deer when he takes off running because you get too close. I think Bigfoot's a little braver than a deer, so he's probably not going to take off running when you get too close.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right there, if you take what we know about nature and things like that, you know, a deer is not a predator. You know, Bigfoot, 8 feet tall, 500 pounds. He's a predator.
Yep.
You know, he's not going to run. He's going to sit there and he's going to observe you. And he's going to stay quiet. But, you know, yeah, you don't see a deer until the deer runs. When that deer is hunkered behind that tree or laying in that brush watching you, you don't know he's there.
That's true. That's true.
Trying to think if there's any more that maybe we didn't cover on some of the other places that we kind of have to, if you had like any more stories, like Gettysburg or Henderson Castle that we might not have talked about, or any of the like the other cemeteries you may have gone to. So there were quite a few cemetery videos.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of cemeteries. We love doing the cemeteries because we go out, we pay our respects to the soldiers that are there. We just done Riverside in Dowalczyk, Michigan for the third time the last part of last year, and went to a whole different section in the cemetery. Of course, had Tommy Tombstone with us with his cameraman, and got to do our respects to the fallen soldiers out there, and being an ordained minister, you know, Mark had me say a prayer for him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And being a veteran, of course, I give him that final salute before we done anything out there. But we've done a lot. Like I said, that was our third time there. The first time there, we done the Lee Mausoleum. Now, the Lees, they're part of the Borges Lee hospitals and things like that. But we were doing their mausoleum, and me and an old friend of ours, Christy, her son, him and I were there at the camera, and we started to walk away to talk, so what we were saying wouldn't get picked up on the camera. And the video, we have I still have that video. I was able to save all of my paranormal videos on this new channel. Those are the only ones I was able to save, but I saved. But we picked up white glowing eyes coming out of the mausoleum.
Hmm.
And we kept hearing the voice box kept saying 9, 9, 9. And I finally yelled at Mark. I said, Mark, how many people's buried here? He said, 7. I said, this thing has said 9 like 3 times. And he went up there with his flashlight and he looked. He said, oh, there's 9 tombs, but only 7 are occupied.
Okay.
And it's like, huh. And then when I of course found those eyes in editing, and you know, you've got your naysayers there. Oh, you edited those in. Like, dude, seriously. I am a baby at editing. I can't edit squat in and make it look good. I can't even do a brightly lit green screen without having some kind of an echo somewhere around me on my green screen. You know, so yeah, everything, we don't alter anything that we put on the channel. It is all what you see. If it's not some kind of dialect on the screen asking a question or saying what a voice box has said or something like that, it's not put in. It is exactly what we catch on the film.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Another great place, Paw, Michigan.
I'll give you that is a up a little bit.
Paw, Michigan.
Okay.
Oh, am I? The cemetery in Paw, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Another great one to do. I actually went out there. Mark could not make that one with me. So I took our friend Christy and my mother-in-law, who is a huge Ghost Adventures fan. She's not afraid of nothing.
Is she a skeptic?
Not in the least bit. She went out to Las Vegas 2 years ago, and the first place she went was Zach Bagans Museum. And she wasn't afraid to touch anything. She wasn't afraid to get right up. But I took her out there. Funniest bloody thing you ever seen in your life. She's standing there beside Christy. Christy's right beside me. We're filming up the hill. And we're seeing things moving around the tombs in the dark. And she's like, I can see something up there. I'm going to go check it out. I'm like, Mom, be careful. You know what the police said about there being a lot of homeless people around here. I don't want anything bad to happen to you.
Right.
And she goes walking up that hill, and she gets just out of the edge of the light into the shadow. And all of a sudden you start hearing, nope, 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 to hell with this. No, 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 F this. No, no. And she come right down that hill. And I understand this woman just had knee surgery. country. So she was hobbling like a duck. She come down that hill three times faster than she went up it, right between me and Christy, went and got in the car, and that was it for the night for her. She said she seen something from mid-torso to the top of its head come out from behind a grave, darker than the dark around it. And it reached out. And she said, "Nope, piss on it. I am going to the car. I'm locking the doors. I'll unlock them when they get done." No. She goes, "It scared the bejesus out of me." And she's not gone back on another one with me yet.
So I'm assuming it wasn't a homeless person. It was some sort of black shadow figure.
It was some kind of a shadow up there.
Wow. That says a lot. Because she sounds like a tough woman.
Oh, she is, for only being like 5 foot tall. She's tough as nails. She's
oh my goodness.
Tough as nails. The funny thing, though, and it's at the very end of the Pawpaw cemetery video, we start seeing white eyes over towards the mausoleum to our right, and they're moving, they're dodging, they're vanishing, they're coming back in a different location, and they're all over the place constantly, just all kinds of little white eyes. And we're hearing things, sticks breaking, and we're like, okay, all right, does anybody have a gun? No. Okay, does anybody have a knife? Yes. Okay. All right. Well, at least we know we got some kind of protection if it is something that's, you know. So we go walking over there. Somebody had dumped off 8 kittens.
Oh, no.
And these things were running all around this mausoleum, hiding under the mausoleum, up on the roof of the mausoleum, up in the tree beside the mausoleum, hiding on the gravestone beside the mausoleum. We get over there, and all of a sudden, they're just running all around us.
There's
and stuff.
Cats.
And it's like, son of a, we thought we had something really good here, and it's a bunch of freaking kittens.
Oh, that's a good story. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like, here I am thinking I'm going to get definitive proof that demons exist in our world, and it's a bunch of cute little kittens.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I keep thinking maybe they were demonic kittens, but nothing happened. So, I mean, it was.
Maybe a little feral. That's about it, right?
Well, not even that. They were coming up and letting us pet them and pick them up.
Oh, well then, no, not even that.
It's like, come on, do something demonic. Face split open, you know.
At least hiss at me, right?
And cats can do that out of me. Being demonic.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, how are we doing on time, black cat. Brandon? You know,
we're getting probably got about 5-10 minutes left.
Okay, well, why don't we do our final thought?
Yeah, we can do that.
We're up and coming.
Yeah, up and coming. We are going to have some more episodes coming up. I don't have currently the next guest lined up. I got a few people kind of in the works, so we're working on the details on that right now. Again, you can check out this podcast on Jose Paranormal History Productions. You can find it on any of the audio on any of basically most of the spots where you can get Audible, podcasts on. It's shared out on a lot. Or the whole picture podcast on Facebook.
We'll put it on our Facebook page, which is the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Yep. And Drew, would you like to share anything up and coming with our guests that you would like to share? What you got coming up?
Well, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, we have got the hotel in South Haven, Michigan coming up next weekend. Many years of documented experiences with different people in that location. We're really looking forward to that one. We have the Masonic Temple in Pawpaw, Michigan coming up here very soon. We have got a couple more coming up that we're still trying to get set up. Another one right there in Dowalczyk, Michigan. Where there have been a lot of occurrences over the last 25 years. Right here towards the end of 2021, things really started getting iffy and edgy. Other paranormal teams have even gone in to investigate and got startled. We have the Olympia Bookstore in Dowalczyk, Michigan coming up here at the end of the month. We got a full year of investigations, and we have several groups. Like I said, we've got four groups now that are all working on getting investigations and stuff set up. It's going to be a great year.
So in order for people to find you, what's the best way? Go to your YouTube channel and look for Living Histories Mysteries. Is that the best way to watch these up and comings?
That's the best way to do it. YouTube, okay. Living Histories Mysteries. You can also get a hold of us at Living Histories Mysteries or wait a second. Yeah, we have a Living Histories Mysteries on Facebook.
Yeah, okay.
We also have the Midwest Parahistoric Society that you can contact us at. We are always looking for new investigations, homes, businesses, properties. So if anybody is bothered by strange noises or occurrences in their home, they can always get a hold of us through livinghistorycomesalive@gmail.com or go to Midwest Parahistoric Society on Facebook and get a hold of us that way.
That sounds wonderful. Well, we really appreciate you being with us tonight, being our special guest, Drew. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and we really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we're excited to see your new episodes on YouTube coming up soon.
I do have a question for you before we go. I know you did DeadCon, I think it was DeadCon, right? Last year you did a video there. Are you planning on doing any conventions? Because I know that's one thing we're looking at possibly doing is going to some conventions and try to make some episodes, like maybe doing like short interviews at places like that.
Right now, I don't really have the connections with the conventions. Now, this is something else for all you paranormal investigators out there. And I found this out by accident. The girl that I went to DeadCon with in Fort Wayne, Indiana, purchased tickets. And I investigated into it a little bit more. I come to find out that anybody who does social media qualifies for press passes. So I was actually able to get press passes. We met Danny Trejo, I met Lita Ford, a few of the actors from The Walking Dead, some of the guys from Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Seekers, Ghost Hunters here in America. Great place. Next year, Living Histories Mysteries and the Midwest Parahistoric Society is planning on setting up at DeadCon.
Oh, good for you.
So any other paranormal conventions or anything like that that we can get a foot in the door into to get our name out there a little bit more? Yes, I'm definitely interested in doing.
Yeah. I figure that'd be a kind of a good way, but that's kind of a way we want to kind of break the show off a little bit and do stuff a little bit different than the traditional Zoom stuff that kind of go on the road to conventions and stuff like that. Fun way to
you and I kind of talked about that, didn't we, Brandon? Maybe try some of that a little bit. Coolness. Well, thank you again, appreciate your time, and loved your stories tonight.
Thank you,
and it was a pleasure having you on our show.
Pleasure was mine.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.